So I have a question to start out with. If you were to rate your level of peace right now, 1 to 10, 10 is perfect peace, where would you put it? And if it's low, how can we raise the numbers in the time that we're living in? You know, if we looked around us, our nation is in a turmoil. Not much peace to be found in the things around us. And then I listen to that kind of quiet voice of Jesus in John 14 and 27. My peace I leave with you. It's not like the world gives, give I unto you. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Now that would be some peace. If I could have something that would not let my heart be troubled. So what can I do? What kind of tools can I have that would improve my chances of having more peace? I have a verse I'd like to start out with. Job 22 and 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee. Well, we could look at that verse and say, well, sure, the unsaved person ought to get acquainted with God and he could sure have some peace. But you know, I'm kind of thinking tonight that that verse will go deeper than that. For me to become more acquainted with him and the areas that he can bring more peace into my life in times when things are troubled around me. And acquaint now thyself with him more and be at peace. What does that verse say? Thou wilt keep, I think it's Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What radio station would you follow to be able to get that? Won't find it on a radio station. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, that really is the answer to our question of our peace level. Is when I am disturbed with conditions around me or troubles that come to me and my peace is gone, then I have to look at, okay, where has my mind been going? A lot of times the devil would like for us to spend a lot of our mental energy thinking about the trouble that we're in and focusing on the problem and forgetting that will keep him in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on thee. So there's a song that we sing sometime. It says, oh, there's no one like Jesus to calm life's seas and bring an unspeakable peace. It's a peace not depending on my troubles relenting. Now, that's some kind of peace. This peace does not depend on me having no trouble. Now, in the world around us today, there can be people that would say, I have a peace level right now of 10. I don't have any problems. My boss just gave me a raise. My house payment's been made. Peace level is running very high today. Well, you know, that's good, but it can change tomorrow when I have a blowout on my car and I ruin something, and now my expenses are up there. So I'm wondering, is there a place that we can live where our peace level can be not so much disturbed by the things that happen around us? This says, he brings an unspeakable peace, a peace not depending on my troubles relenting, but all on his sweet love to me. And then it says, he is everything that I need. He is able to solve life's problems for us. And not so much just that, okay, now I don't have a problem. The problem is gone. But instead that I realize that he is in control of the problem. So tonight what I would like to think about is maybe this for a title. Our dependence upon God related to peace. I'm thinking it's proportional. The more I depend on God and realize my dependence on him, the more peace I can have in my life. I remember when I was a child, a small child living at home, you know, I never worried about whether I would have food the next day. I never went to bed thinking, you know what, I need to stay awake all night fearful that I might not have something to eat tomorrow. Mom and Dad took care of us. And I believe it's like that for us today. In life, as it dishes out things to us, that I will realize, what does it say, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That peace that I can come to the place that not just my head knowledge, but down in my heart, I can say God is in control of all things, and he's in control of this problem that I'm faced with right now. So I would like to think about this, a recipe for peace in this year, 2021, that is proportional to how much I'm depending on God, and I'm realizing that he is well able to take care of the needs that I have. And I'd like to start with a verse over in Psalms 37 and 23. Now this verse is something that I could have a head knowledge about, but the peace will come from it being a heart knowledge. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, can you imagine the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? That's all the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it goes on to say, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That 24th verse doesn't mean this steps of a good man, he's constantly falling back into sin. What this is talking about when we read it, look it up, is though he fall into adversity, though he fall into sickness, troubles that come his way, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man, and I need this little piece of a verse to go over and over in my mind. My requirement is to stay in the category of God seeing me as a good man. The choices that I'm making in my life, the directions that I'm taking, that he be able to have his stamp of approval on it. Because here's the thing. If I'm not living that way, God's going to sometimes send some things to me trying to get me back in the right path. But it's when this is listed for me, the steps of a good man, I'm now doing everything that the Lord wants me to do. And now I can have this confidence when trouble comes into my life that God has sent this for some purpose. Steps of a good man. Joseph had a dream, and for 13 years, he did not see that dream become fulfilled. He went through adversity one after another. But we don't hear a whole lot from him. In fact, really, I only hear about one thing for a lot of those years, and that was when he told Potiphar's wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And then it continued on until maybe the two men came into prison and he helped them with their dream. There was many of those 13 years that we don't know much about him. But what we do know was the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. When he got to the other end of it, the testimony that he had to his brothers was what? 13 years of my life has been lost and y'all are the cause of it. Didn't do it. Instead, what he did was he said, don't be grieved with yourselves. It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God. Now, you think that will bring our peace level up when we can be able to attribute things to God to be able to say, it wasn't that person that is causing me the problem. It's God that's allowing some things to come into my life. I'm looking at another verse over in Psalms 66. Psalm 66 and 10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. You notice in these verses, all of this trouble is being attributed to God. Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. All of those things that came into this person's life is being attributed to God. The troubles that came into my life, Lord, you allowed those to happen. who do we think about in the Bible that would fit this category? Was Job. When the things happened in Job's life, I was thinking about over in Job, the second chapter. Things came into his life that he did not expect. But the attitude that he held toward it. In Job, the second chapter and the third verse, here the Lord is speaking to Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I was thinking about integrity, moral soundness or purity. He has been able to hold this even though something has happened in the first chapter of Job. We're now up to the place where the second chapter, you remember Satan looks at it in the fourth verse, skin for skin, yea, all a man hath will he give for his life. First chapter, Job has lost his temporal possessions. They're gone now. But Satan's looking at this saying, you know what? When it gets down to health, a person is willing to get rid of it. Put forth that fifth verse, put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. What happened in the first chapter when all of Job's temporal possessions were gone? Was his peace gone? I have no peace. I tell you what, if God cannot do any better than this for a person that lives for him, I'm through. No, what does it say at the very end of it all? In 20th verse of the first chapter, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground. And what does he do next? You know, some people with that much trouble would fall down and go to kicking their feet and screaming. But he fell down and he worshiped. You know, peace level is not about my feelings so much as a confidence that God is in control. This one says, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. You know, talk about a peace level that Jesus says, I'll give you, not as the world gives. The world will say peace is gone right now. There's none to be had with the trouble that Job's having. But instead, he said, the Lord gave it. He took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. My realization of my dependence on God is proportional to the peace that I have. How that he is well able to take care of the problems that I face. You know, and we get to read the whole chapter, the whole book of Job. We can read through all of his problems that he went through. And in a few hours, I can be back to the 42nd chapter, and it finishes up where he gets everything back plus more. And we could tell him, Job, you know what? Hang on. Deliverance is coming. And I have tried, I wish someone could tell me how to find it. I have tried in the past to find out how long was his affliction. And I've never been able to find out, except for this one thing. It lasted for 42 chapters. It went through enough time that there was a lot to be recorded. And, you know, in those times, this is pretty good in the first couple chapters. Job, what did it say when his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? He still held his integrity with God. But time passed by. And you know, we can have trouble come into our life when we know what to do at the beginning of it. And our peace level is there when trouble is coming. But time can pass by as it did with Job. You know, Job came to a place where he wished that he could sit down and talk it over with God. I wish I was able to have an audience with God. And he got one. You remember over in, let's go back here to the 38th chapter. You know, about the time that we would like to talk to God about why these troubles are coming into our life, it starts out where, I'm in Psalms, Job, the 38th chapter. Now God is going to give him an audience. The Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind, and he said, You know, now Job is going to have an audience with God. God's going to talk to him. And he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And he says in the fourth chapter, or the fourth verse, and he continues on for a couple chapters. "Gird up now," third verse, "gird up now thy loins like a man, I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." You know, Job's got some questions he want to talk to God about. Why are you allowing these things to happen? And God says in the fourth verse, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Can you imagine for us to try to explain back to God his creation and how it all works? That's what he was talking to Job about. When we are dealing with losing our peace and our dependence upon God, how it should be, I need to stop sometime and realize how great God is compared to who I am. When I think of the verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding." My understanding is guaranteed to cause me to lose peace because I can't see. Remember where it says, God said, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." If I can come to the place that in my heart I realize I've got one job to do, stay in the category of a good man in the choices that I'm making. And then realize the verse that says the steps of a good man will be ordered by the Lord. He allows it to happen. The steps of a good man, Job, was ordered by the Lord. We may never understand completely why all of it happened, but God allowed it. And I have one place that I need to stay in my dependence upon God and the peace level that I'd like to have is tomorrow, should something come into my life, that I would be able to say, "The Lord has allowed this thing to come into my life for some reason," and I'd be able to hold peace, have peace from that. You remember after he was, God talked to him for a couple chapters, Job had a little bit different feeling about it in the 40th chapter. It says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Can you imagine trying to tell God what he needs to be doing? And Job answered the Lord and said, third verse of 40th chapter, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice I'll proceed no further." And the Lord comes along and says, "You know, we're not through yet. I've got a lot more things to talk to you about." He says, eighth verse, "Wilt thou disannul my judgment?" Job, are you going to try to explain to me what I'm doing wrong in your life without disannulling my judgment? "Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" And then for two more chapters, he goes again at the difference between who God is and who we are. Then in the 42nd chapter, here's where Job comes back. Job answered the Lord and said, first verse, "I know thou canst do everything. No thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? I've uttered things I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not." It says in the fifth verse, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." Here Job is at the end of it all. He's realizing, wow, I've been saying I want to talk to God about the trouble that he's sending in my life. Why is he doing it? And then God talks to Job about who he really is compared to Job. And Job humbles himself. And then God answers him. You know, sometimes we sing that song, "Now let us have a little talk with Jesus." You know, that little talk would be, "Lord, I would like to line up my thinking with your thinking because your ways are so much higher than mine." The steps of a good man. Back in Psalms, they were ordered by the Lord and they're still ordered by the Lord. It says, "He delighteth in his way." Just looking at this, it says, "The Lord delights in us accepting the steps that he has ordered for me." For me, realizing everything that comes into my life has passed through God first. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But then may I delight in the fact that God Almighty is directing those steps. We have a song that says, "He leadeth true. I will not question. Though through the valley I shall go, though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe, God's way is best. For me to be able to say it, and it's easy for me to call song number 111, and we sing that song, and it's got a pretty good tune to it. But for me to have it down in my heart, that Lord, the things that you send into my life, I understand that it is best for me. So what is the will of God for my life? And what is the will of God for yours? There's song number 55. It says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. You know what? The only reason it's done it is because I have allowed it. I want to stay in that category, the steps of a good man. I want to be with my desires, with my choices that I am making in my life, that I stay in the place that his will girds me around. It's my desire. And then it says, another verse of it says, and now I have flung myself recklessly out. I'm no longer telling God, now this is the way you need to do it, but I'm allowing his will to be done in my life, like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. Then that song finishes up with one more verse. Forever I choose the good will of my God. And you know, for my peace level to stay up there, I'm going to have to realize the things that God sends into my life. And you know, maybe it would be good for me to ask the Lord to search me. Lord, are you sending this because I need some correction? I need some change in my life. Or are you allowing it into my life like you did with Joseph? There was no sin in Joseph's life that God sent the 13 years of trouble to him. There was no sin in Job's life that about this, however long that one lasted. But it was God's purpose for the two of them. It's God's purpose for us sometimes for the things he sends to us. There's another song. Yes, my heart says amen to thy will, Lord. And I know that thou lovest me still. While I bow low in humble submission, and my heart says amen to thy will. You know, I believe it was in the meeting at Guthrie just recently, we heard about the cup that each one of us are to have. Each one of us have a cup. The contents of that cup is God's will for my life. You know, I don't always know what is God's will for my life. We have a prayer request time, and we are able to turn in our request of what we would like for God to do for us, to us. What verse do we use for that? Over in Philippians. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. Be careful for nothing. That's having a lot of worry about the things that are happening in our life. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I was looking at that. We have an opportunity to tell the Lord, I would like for you to do it this way. And I'm also thanking you for how you helped me last week with the problem that I had and several things in the past. With thanksgiving, and I appreciate in our prayer request time, you know, thanksgivings a lot of times are almost outweighing the request, thanking the Lord for what he did through this past week, decisions that he's helped us with. And now I have more of them to make, and I want his direction for me in those. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. You remember in 2 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, we read about Paul. It says he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know for sure what the trouble was. But we know one thing. He had a direction that he was praying for. He was praying that he would be delivered from that trouble. Prayed three times that it would be done. And he got an answer from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, let's look at what that answer caused him to do. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in the 7th verse, it tells about, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you think about it, here is an answer to him for the trouble that's come to him. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Remember, he's talking about a dream, a vision that he had of heaven, one that nobody else has been able to have. Lest I should be exalted above measure that I'm the one that got this kind of a vision when I go to telling it. A thorn in the flesh has come. And here's what he did in the 8th verse. This thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So what would you do with that kind of an answer? Would your peace level be gone? Don't have any peace. It didn't go the direction that I wanted. So when it happened, 9th verse, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's his decision. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, this one goes a little extra. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. You know, he was one happy man. He had a lot of things come into his life if he was able to take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions. It was that confidence that he had that God has got his life in control. He's allowing the things to come into his life that are needed. Remember the verse that is letting us, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Jesus left us an example himself when he prayed that he would like for it to go this direction. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, we can, in our prayer request time, when we are praying to the Lord, we can tell him exactly how we would have him to do it. But part of this dependence upon the Lord realizes that, remember, thou art in heaven and I'm down here on earth. I can see just a few feet ahead of me. You can see, Lord, out into eternity. So I'm realizing now, Lord, I need you to be able to guide me. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If anybody could have gotten his prayer answered, Jesus could have. What did he say? He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels and been delivered. But if I had done it, this other would not have been able, our salvation would not have been able to come. So instead he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Want to keep a peace level in 2021? It's when trouble comes our way and we can say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I'm bringing you my request, but I'm not going to lose my peace if you tell me my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. There's something else for us to realize how much we depend on God. When we're living in a time where things are prosperous around us, and America has been that way for many years now, it's easy for us to, I can say with my head, I'm depending on God, but I can work out my needs, the things that I have. But there's a reminder for us, and I'd like to look at it for just a few minutes. In Acts, the 17th chapter, here Paul is going to Mars Hill, and he's talking to some heathen people that don't even know about God, and he's trying to explain to them, give them a little vision of him. And in Acts 17 and 28, in him we live and move and have our being. I am dependent on God. You know, for me to realize, for me to draw another breath will be a blessing from God. Tomorrow morning for me to be able to get up will be a blessing from God. You ever had things going well? I know Sister Lorinda has put in before about her joint coming, her inner arm coming apart and giving her some major pain. And you know how quick that can happen? To where I've got life going the right direction. Everything is going well. But how quick it can change. And you know, really my dependence on the Lord is still the same as it was when everything was going good. I just see it more now. So he's reminding them, it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. And that's reminded to us again over in Psalms in the 100th chapter. There's a little piece of a verse. Know ye, second verse of the 100th chapter. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. My dependence level on God is going to come from me realizing this right here. Lord, you made me and not myself. Now, what does that really mean? You remember over in Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter, the Israelites have been without owning property, without having a lot of things for many years. And now they're fixing to come into a land where God is going to bless them. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, fountains, depths that spring, valleys and hills. And he goes on down through all these. When all these blessings have come to you, here's what I want you to do. 10th verse. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. So we don't say, I tell you what, my job's doing well. I've got a lot of money. We're able to eat. We're able to have things. And I've been able to do it myself. No. When thou hast eaten and art full, bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he gave you. And then he went on down and said, beware. Look at that 12th verse. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt in them, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, something can happen to me. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. And it goes on down. Here's the thing that can happen. He's warning. This is the things that can happen to the children of Israel. But it's also a warning to me. In my dependence level upon God and recognizing it, and the peace level that can go with it, this one says, and you could say in your heart in the 17th verse, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Look at the danger that we can be in when I get to that level. Because I've got peace now. My power and my might got me this wealth. You know, if my peace level rides on that, what's going to happen if the stock market crashes tomorrow and I have no money left when I was wealthy yesterday? You know what the Christian can... What was that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It could go away tomorrow, and if I can live in the place that I can say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, and he is able to give again if he wants to. He is able to take care of us. But what was being warned by God to the children of Israel is, it's going to be real easy when conditions change for you and things are going so much better that the thought starts going through your mind, I have been able to do this myself. That's a warning for us today. Because you know what? When my peace level is going to fluctuate when that thought is entertained. Because peace level is very high when things are going well, I have reverses come that takes that money fast and I am down at the bottom of the peace level. If I can live in a place to where I can realize the Lord gives it, the Lord takes it away, I am dependent upon the Lord. You know, Jesus even gave us an example. Why do we, before we pray at a meal, do we do it just because, well, mom and dad used to do it and they told us we needed to do it, so I guess we'll still do it? You know what the purpose is for this very reason right here that he was warning the folks in Deuteronomy about? Be real careful, because it's real easy to even come at mealtime, just sit down and take off of eating and don't be reminded. You know, I need to be reminded. My children need to be reminded. People around me that I'm eating at, if I'm at a restaurant or something, that's a good time to have a testimony without saying a word out loud to them, is I am recognizing that God is the giver of all things. And I am thankful for it. So Jesus gave us an example. When they came to him with just a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread, you know what? He could have kind of rolled his sleeves up and said, I want to show you something that you have never seen before. Watch this show. Did he do it? Nuh-uh. He did what we do every day. He took what he had and he gave thanks for it and he started distributing it. And as it multiplied, where does the recognition go back to? It goes back to God. Jesus himself did not even take it. So for us to be able to realize, you know what? The things that happen, whether they're good in my life, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It is of the Lord. And when I do that, my peace level can run high, because it's not about what I can do. It's about the saying, Lord, should there be something in my life that you have sent this trouble to show me to change, I'll change that thing. Because I understand that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So there is a verse of a song I'd like to close with. It's the end verse of song number 111. God's way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Wherever he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best. It's best for me. God has a place that we can have peace in this year. And it comes from me realizing, you know what? My dependency is upon the Lord. I recognize how much I need him in my life to direct me. When I have a need, I can tell the Lord, I think it needs to go this way, Lord. But I also realize you're in heaven and I'm on earth. Lord, would you direct my life and help me to keep the peace level? I desire your prayers.